Lake of Land. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Reflection Connection. For the latest in skincare and beauty products, go to Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, Lake of Land, buckle up. Let's get into today's show, boys and girls. Let's do it.
Basketball, a game of giants. When he had to, he knew all the tricks.
Oh, yeah. Purple and gold skies, boys and girls. Welcome back. Episode 5. We in the building, Lake of Land. I am your host, as always, Seven Mitchell. Appreciate you guys coming back this weekend. We got a special guest joining us. We coming off of a loss last night, so we got so much to kind of unpack in today's podcast. So shout out to everybody in Lakers Nation. Shout out to the NBA community as a whole. Big up again to my partners in crime, Hank, Cole, BA. I know those guys are out today. They got some things going on, but they may pop up before the pod is out. But shout out to my team. Joining me today, a man who has and wears many hats in this NBA community. If you guys are familiar with the Best of Seven Sports Talk, my first initial platform, he came on very, very, very many hats. Journalist, producer, writer. I got the homie Nick Mack joining me this afternoon. Nick, what's up, brother?
I appreciate the intro, my man, Seven. It's good to be back on a different platform with you again to talk some basketball. Season's getting down to the wire. Some exciting stuff going on, including your Lakers, my Mavericks. I know you all see me decked out in the Mavericks gear. I promise to be as unbiased as possible, but I'm on a roll right now, so we'll talk about it. But really, thanks for having me. Happy Easter to everybody out there, you and yours, and can't wait to get into it.
That's right, man. Happy Easter to everybody. Hope everybody have a safe weekend. We got an unbelievable episode number 5. If you guys are in the live stream, in the live chat, shout out to you guys. Sensation in the building. I see you, man. We are about to rock and roll here. Episode number 5 of Lake of Land. Let's get right into the show. We're not going to waste you guys' time. So last night, man, a very embarrassing performance by my Los Angeles Lakers. After coming off of a 5-game winning streak, they go lose to Indiana 109-90. Shooting the basketball from the three-point line was just horrific for the team. I think that really was the deciding factor of the Lakers losing last night to Indiana. Now, overall, the season series, the Lakers did win the series over the Pacers. But also at the end of this game, I don't know if you guys saw it, but once again, LeBron James exited the sidelines before the buzzer is, sounded. And we've seen this time and time again. Nick, did you catch any of last night's game? And what's your thoughts on LeBron James leaving the bench early when his team constantly loses? Should the NBA, should the team really look into this when we're talking about LeBron's behavior?
I got to be honest, man. I caught a little bit of the game early. It was definitely a great game in the first half. I think it was only a couple points at halftime. But as far as LeBron goes, I got to be honest. I was watching Duke last night. I'm a Duke fan, so they were playing to make the Elite Eight, and they pulled it out last night, so shout out to them.
Shout out to the Blue Devils.
When it comes to LeBron's behavior, my whole thing is I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's something that gets scrutinized because it's LeBron James and everything he does gets scrutinized. I think he's not the only one that does it, but I think it's the only one that the cameras immediately go to when he does it.
Yeah.
And I really don't think, I think it's a much bigger deal than it's being made out to be. I think he goes back, he's dealing with a serious ankle injury. He's been dealing with it for a long time. The foot injury goes back to get treatment early when it's a blowout game like that. But if he needed to be on the floor last night with his team, he would have been there. And he's shown that this entire season. He's shown that since he's been a Laker. If he could play, he's going to be on the court when it matters. So I think you take the good with the bad when it comes to somebody of LeBron James's caliber and what he means to the team.
I think you're absolutely right. My problem with this is just the optics, you know, and, you know, LeBron James over time has always been a master of manipulation, and he's always done little things to kind of create a storyline or a narrative. And, you know, it could definitely be because of his injury going back, getting, you know, attended to a little bit early. But because we've seen him do this so many times, it's just a bad look from the optics. But, you know, LeBron is an elder statesman. He's one of the oldest, if not the oldest guy actively in the league. So, you know, he's going to get some leeway. But I was just wondering, like, should the team speak to him? Should the NBA? Because it is a bad look. And I don't want to see a trend of other up and coming players or even veterans leaving the game just because they lose. And like, yo, you got to take your L's just like everybody else on your team.
I think that's something that the team addresses behind closed doors. You know what I mean? Because if it's not affecting them, if it's not bothering them, then you leave it alone. Obviously, you don't want to cause rifts where there isn't trouble.
Right.
You know, if it is bothering them, if it does show poor character and poor leadership in their minds, they should speak up and talk to them about it. Yeah. But I think that's something a team handles behind closed doors.
Is Darvin Ham, in your opinion, the type of coach that has the cachet to have that conversation with the LeBron James at this point in his career?
I think that's going to be up to the players. I don't think Darvin Ham is going to be the one to lead the charge on that. Okay. And you know what? That's just sitting back. I haven't commented too much on the Darvin Ham situation in LA. I know the fans are not happy. I know that he has not had great moments and in making adjustments, especially this season. But at the same time, he's shown a distinct lack of leadership that I think he wouldn't be the guy to speak up. And, you know, that would be something like a players only thing coming from this Lakers group. If it was an issue, I also see this Lakers group not having an issue with it. I think the media and the fans have far
more of
an issue.
A problem. Because when you think about the roster of the Lakers, who is that voice that would even go there with LeBron? Yeah. Is it AD? Is it D-Lo? Like, I don't even know too many of those guys on that team that would even go there with LeBron, even if it was a players-only scenario.
I think AD would probably be the only one that LeBron would listen to in that situation too. Like,
right.
You know, somebody, maybe like a Reeves, who's kind of been under LeBron's wing since coming there, you know,
to a point he might hear to them. I don't know if he'll listen. He might hear them, you know, I'll give them that much respect. But when we,
look,
you know,
if the team thinks, hey, this is supposed to be our leader, this is supposed to be our franchise, a cornerstone, why is he leaving the bench early? Or if they understand, hey, this is what he does when the games are over a little early, he gets back and starts getting treatment before all of us. We know
right.
this.
Right.
Which is what he said publicly in the past. So, I don't know. To me, it's not that big of a deal. He's not the first guy to leave a bench early. He won't be the last. But,
I agree. We'll have to see how
again,
it play out.
39 years old, dealing with that kind of lingering foot injury. What did he say to JJ on the podcast? Can you imagine having a 2003
yeah.
2024 and you've never changed
same
the tire.
Tires? Yeah.
You know, so when you put it that way, it makes sense that things might look a little differently for him at the ends of these kind of games.
I've always said preservation is going to be so instrumental in the success of LeBron remaining as an individual and the Lakers as a team. But when we talk about the Lakers as a squad, I want to talk briefly with you about the ceiling of the Lakers for the remainder of the year. Right now, LA, I believe, is in ninth place overall in the Western Conference. Right now, we're sitting at 41-33. In the Western Conference, it looks like we are headed in this play-in tournament scenario. In a perfect world, Nick, and when I say perfect world, I mean availability. Guys don't get hurt. How far can this Los Angeles Lakers team honestly go to you? Even being a Dallas fan.
I mean, yeah. I'm keeping my bias out of this now. No, I think we saw it last year. I think this team is dangerous when it comes playoff time, and they showed that a year ago. In this play-in tournament, you know, my Mavericks are lingering, but luckily they're two games out of the seventh spot now with this latest surge. But the Lakers have been on a roll too. They won five in a row prior to that loss last night. And it's really going to come down to their depth once again. I think what we saw in the playoffs last year was guys like D'Lo and Reeves and Rui and Vanderbilt making major contributions that fueled that Western Conference Finals run. Because remember, LeBron was shooting the ball really poorly, especially from beyond the arc. Yep. It's much better this year. But in the playoffs last year, I think he was, 22% from beyond the arc? Yep. You know, and they made up with that. Big games from D'Lo, big games from Reeves. To get through the Warriors, to get through the Grizzlies, and, you know, nobody was really competing with Denver last year. But this team is going to go as far as their depth takes them. And that's a lot of Western Conference teams this year, including my Mavericks. You know, how consistent can Hachimura be in the playoffs? How consistent can D'Lo be in the playoffs? D'Lo going 3-for-14 from the field last night was a major reason why they lost that game. How's the health of the Lakers going to be? What kind of contributions can Gabe Vincent make in a playoff run if he comes back? What kind of contributions can Vanderbilt make on the defensive side of the ball if he comes back for the playoffs healthy? So there's a lot of unanswered things for the Lakers, but they are trending in the right direction, the same direction that I did see towards the end of last season.
Right. Now, one thing I want to get out the way and get your opinion on is this narrative that the Lakers are better without LeBron James. Now, we've seen LA pull some big wins together this season versus Milwaukee, versus Boston, I believe the Clippers as well. But this weird narrative in the NBA community is now coming out that the Lakers are better off without LeBron James. What's your thoughts on that, Nick? Short term and long term.
You know where I stand on the whole all-time debate thing, you know, and how I think LeBron is right there with Jordan in the GOAT debate. That being said, it has been 20 years. Can we stop with this BS that any team is better with LeBron James off the court? Are you the most intelligent basketball player? You've probably nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Yeah, their record says one thing, but in the playoffs, you seriously tell me you don't want LeBron James on the court because they're a better team without him on the floor? Get out of here. That's the most ridiculous thing ever.
It is, because it's not even about a want. It's a need. It's mandatory. You cannot put your money, your rent money on Anthony Davis to lead, to do what's asked of LeBron. I don't even know if Anthony Davis can do half of it on a consistent basis, on and off the basketball court.
Look, what he did in Milwaukee the other night without LeBron on the court was special. It was a special performance. But can he do that against the likes of Nikola Jokic for a seven-game series consistently? Can he do that with the likes of – who else you got out there? Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, that tandem in Minnesota. Because these are the teams you're going to have to get through later in the playoffs.
He's early 0-10. In the playoffs, too.
If you're in the play-in.
He's 0-10 in his career, Nick, versus Domantas Sabonis for Sacramento. Another team he might be meeting, you know, a division rival. He hasn't beaten Sabonis in his career, AD.
I feel like there's a lot of outliers in that situation, though, because when you look at it, it's like Anthony Davis should eat Domantas Sabonis' lunch every time he touches the ball. It should just be I feel like there's just a lot of other things that contribute to that as well, because like the Kings perimeter offense, the Lakers really have trouble with the Kings perimeter offense, the speed of Fox, the speed of Monk coming off the bench, who's a huge loss for them getting injured. Man. But anyway, like with the Lakers, man, look, that supporting cast is great for the LeBron James's style of play. With this Western Conference, it's loaded. It's loaded with talent, and they are going to struggle with teams who can attack from all angles on the perimeter. And Davis, I mean, Davis staying consistent with the other elite bigs in the Western Conference right now. It's not any cakewalk.
I hope that the Lakers just get into a position eventually to have D'Lo playing his true position at the power forward. I've been watching Jackson Hayes, watching his growth, and hoping that Jackson Hayes can evolve to being in, you know, a starting five for the Lakers to get AD back at his true position. One guy who has really made a name for himself with this Lakers team is D'Angelo Russell. Nick, what's your thoughts on D'Lo's journey this season specifically, because he had his name in trade talks and he has really shown a lot of value with this team, in my opinion. But what's your thoughts on D'Lo's second go around with LA?
I mean, that was crazy to watch D'Lo's roller coaster this year, because when the season started, first 15 games, let's say, it was almost a certainty he was out of there. He was going to be traded. He was struggling, couldn't shoot the ball. And then we literally watched him play himself out of a trade and now play himself into a vital role in it, on a team that needs every ounce of good basketball from him that they could get right now.
Yep.
As they try to position themselves in a favorable play-in position, because like you said, I think it's pretty much guaranteed they're going to be in the play-in. Just where they are in the play-in remains to be seen. But D'Lo's so important to this team's success. And like I was saying about last night, him going 3-for-14, team loses by 19, you do the math.
Kill us. It kills us.
When he can attack and be aggressive from that point guard position, it's definitely better off for the Lakers, because he's smart enough, has the wherewithal to find his shooters or find his cutters, and not force up a shot. And when he's cooking, when he's feeling it, you know, there's almost nobody in basketball you'd rather watch on a hot streak. It almost doesn't hit the net, you know? So, but again, streaky.
He's the one caveat, Nick, when we had that conversation about the Lakers being better without LeBron. He is the one player, and you bring up his aggression and him being in attack mode. He does that to the max when LeBron James is not on the basketball court. Individually, I do feel like we get the aggressive D'Lo when LeBron is not out there on the floor, because he's not looking over the shoulder. He don't want to make the mistake, you know, that he normally doesn't. And we see a lot of players do that with LeBron James as a teammate. So I think individually some guys can shine more or less when LeBron is not out there. But as a whole, you know, to win games, you know, you have to have LBJ. But, you know, I love the aggression from D'Lo. I've been very impressed, because I really didn't embrace his return to LA, but he has definitely shown him to be one of the more valuable guys that we have. Do you think that the Lakers should re-sign him, give him a deal, or you think he's going to walk?
That depends what they're willing to spend on, because there's definitely going to be a team out there looking at what D'Lo's doing for this Lakers team this year, and they're going to have a little bit more money in the pot, possibly. Yeah. But I think D'Lo's found a comfortability and a home in Los Angeles. So I think it's going to take him a lot to get pride away from there if the Lakers are willing to have him back. If I was the Lakers and what he has done, what he's proven he can do under the bright lights with them so far, I would give him a deal. I would give him a 1 or 2 year deal again, for sure. Sure.
This is Lakerland Boys and Girls, episode number 5. We are locked and loaded. We just coming off a conversation of D'Angelo Russell. I want to skip the beat and go to my guy, GOAT James, LBJ, LeBron. Nick, I know where you stand at when we had this conversation about who's the greatest of all time. You know, we will disagree. We will agree to disagree. But let me ask you this, because it's a lot that has happened for LeBron since you and I linked up the last time.
1,000%.
What if anything has changed about your opinion with LeBron in this GOAT status? And is there anything that he can do now to change it in your mind?
Here's the thing. And you know, I'm going to be as unbiased as I possibly can about this. LeBron James, it's like a 1A and 1B for me, man. Like it is so close, and it really goes about what each person values in their criteria. And I think at this point in our lives, if you have an opinion, it is not changing. If what LeBron James has done to this point does not make him the greatest player ever in your eyes, then that's probably not going to change unless he goes out there and has one another epic Finals MVP performance, delivers another title to Los Angeles. That will make me say, you know, hot damn, he's 39 years old delivering this kind of performance. I have nothing left to say. All-time scoring leader happened since the last time we talked, 40,000 points. He continues to rewrite the NBA history books. And that says something to me. That speaks volumes. And it's no longer like I just find it crazy when people try to troll and have him outside the top five, or he's barely inside their top 10. To me, it's one and two, and like you all can debate the rest. And honestly, whoever you have right now, I don't feel any sort of way for who you think is the GOAT, unless your goal is to attack the other player. You know what I mean? Like, if you could prove your guy's case without attacking Jordan or without attacking LeBron, to me, those are the most impressive cases
I respect that
for both
100%.
sides.
I definitely respect that 100%. All
But
right,
like,
man, let's get.
if you're gonna sit here and tell me LeBron's the GOAT, I can't argue with you, man.
It's a. I just look at it like this. And like you said, man, if whatever opinion you've had, I'm assuming nothing is going to change that. Not you, but just the community as a whole. Because before, the last time you and I linked up, he didn't surpass Kareem's record. He didn't surpass 40,000 points. So he has done those things. He's done some other things. And still people feel like Michael is that quote unquote 1A. Is it safe to say that there is no, respectfully, and this is Lakerland, Kobe is not in this GOAT conversation? Can we put that to rest, or should we redefine the definition of GOAT?
Well, I've always had Kobe higher up than a lot of people. Like, he's in my top five, probably. But as for being in the GOAT conversation, I don't think that is. I don't think that's possible as far as
Is it
goats.
because he's more of a carbon copy of Michael, or is it because he didn't do enough?
I think once again, for me, like when it comes down to it, it's the losses on the big stage. I saw him melt down in 2004 against Detroit. You know, I saw him fall apart at the end of the 2008 series as well. So I didn't see that. I didn't see that from Jordan in the finals. You know, I
I
didn't.
agree.
As far as melting down, I seen it from LeBron once.
2011.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's what keeps. Literally, it's the things that minuscule that keep somebody from being the GOAT for me.
Gotcha. All
Because
right,
it's
Nick, let's.
that, when you get to that level of play, when you're being considered an all-time great, it's literally little things like that that
That
separate the
separates you from
greats.
the rest. That's true. That's true. That's true. And the consistency of it. You can't just look at bullet points. You have to also look at the consistency of it, the dominance of it. So I respect that. Definitely. All right, Lakerland, let's get into our TikTok segment of the show. This is our first TikTok topic, real brief. Nick, which NBA player had the better Laker career? Anthony Davis or Paul Gasol?
I think right now, for
Uh-oh.
now, you got to
Uh-oh.
give it to Pal. You got to give it to Pal for now. And here's what I'll say. Prior to the Lakers' acquisition of him in 2008, that was not a finals team. And they proceeded to go to three straight finals, back-to-back championships in 2009 and 2010. Arguably, Pau Gasol was the more valuable Laker in 2010 than Kobe Bryant. And And I know Kobe won Finals MVP and Kobe had a great series. I'm not, this is not a knock on Kobe. This is to elevate just how good Pau Gasol was. Because I feel like a lot of people forget just how important and valuable he was during those early years he was there, the late 2000s and early 2010s, those championship years. Now, as far as Davis, the injuries have hindered a lot. Now, when he was fully healthy, they were NBA champions. And the way he played on that championship run, arguably better than any championship run Gasol had as a Laker. But again, we're talking about second options here. One had LeBron, one had Kobe. Two play with great versions of all-time greats, you know? So that's hard to judge. But for now, I think you got to give it to the guy that went to three straight NBA finals and was back-to-back NBA champions. But Anthony Davis's story in Los Angeles is not done being written yet.
And that's the reason why I totally disagree with you, Nick. You know, I really got to talk to the bosses about your take on this one because I thought you was going to come. You know, I thought we was going to see the light together on this one. I see in the live chat they also agree in Pau Gasol. Listen, everything you said about Pau was absolutely spot on. But I will argue that I could say the same for Anthony Davis. In a sense, not so much as resume as far as, you know, back-to-back champions, you know, that's already written. But Pau Gasol was, they wouldn't have won that without Pau. So I agree with his value. But I will also argue that in 2020, the Lakers would have not won without Anthony Davis, right? Now, Pau has never been the number one for the Lakers. Neither has Anthony Davis for now. But you saying that the story has not been written is the key to me because Anthony Davis has the potential to really lead this team after the LeBron era, potentially to something special. Powell was never built to do that. He was always going to be the Robin. So I feel like, man, to be a champion as an individual player, I think on both ends of the court, AD was better than Powell. And then he has a bigger upside than Powell. I would go with Anthony Davis.
All right. I see that. And you know what? You bring up some good points. I just want to counter one thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing for me. Anthony Davis has all the potential and talent in the world to be a greater Laker than Pau Gasol. I'm not going to deny that at all. But we'll say this. Though the production may look a little different and Anthony Davis's numbers on both sides of the ball may exceed those of Gasol's, Gasol was like consistently, he was going to give you the 17, the 10, maybe three or four dimes. He was going to kill you from the high post
Right.
and he was going to give you elite defense most of the time. Davis, I have seen give you elite performances and then not show up. I remember last year in the 2023 playoffs, we're talking about Anthony Davis not showing up in odd number games. You know what I
He's
mean?
had a
Like
couple games
he
this
would have that
season.
game
He's had a
where he
couple
was.
games this season where he's had like 0 points in an entire half.
Yeah. You know, for me, when I look at consistently what Gasol provided next to Kobe, that makes a difference.
Gotcha.
And it resulted in more team success
Championship. Gotcha.
so far. Now, if
Gotcha.
Davis comes out and he is elite for an entire playoff run, leads the team, or is that elite second option to a championship or even to the NBA Finals, we're having a different conversation.
If the Lakers win the Larry O'Brien trophy this season, we can revisit this conversation.
Oh, absolutely. That's a real,
Gotcha.
that's definitely a different topic.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, people, this is Lakerland episode number 5. Make sure y'all tap in, smash that like button, subscribe to our platform if you guys are new. Podcast is available on all listening platforms. Make sure, of course, guys, just a couple reminders before we get into our next topic of the show. If you guys want to join our Laker watch parties for all the Laker games, come on over to our playback room. That's playback.tv/Lakerland. We give out free VIP access to all the Laker games. We have dope watch parties for all the Laker games. We also got exclusive content Lakers related in our playback room. So come over and support. It's free. Go to playback.tv/Lakerland. Follow the room and get yourself free VIP access. We also just opened our Lakerland store, so we got some merchandise and apparel available. Links are in the description. We got free shipping options as well as discounted items. So make sure you guys support the Lakerland podcast. We definitely appreciate you guys and all that you do for us. We got Nick Mack in the building, man. We about to get into our next topic here on the podcast. Nick, I want to talk about former athletes becoming media, because you are on the original side of this map. And now that social media has come into play, we've gotten a lot of personalities, a lot of former athletes who have kind of jumped into this realm of being quote unquote media. What's your thoughts now in 2024 of all these sports platforms, Draymond, Gilbert Arenas, Paul George, everyone seems to have a podcast. You being in the media yourself when it wasn't cool, what's your thoughts on how this thing is kind of playing out to the NBA community?
You know, I think that, first of all, they're attacking in a good way. They're attacking something that is going to make them money well past their play, you know, their playing days. It can make them money, like J.J. Redick. You know, he's getting a bag right now.
Oh, yeah.
For talking basketball. He's a great basketball mind. He's got a podcast with LeBron James, which no one else in the world can say. You know, so it's a different time for sure. But I like it. I think what a lot of people get uncomfortable with is it kind of shatters this wall of what we think these guys are like, or what we think it's like on the road or playing basketball for a career, you know, and it kind of shatters that the notions that we had about these things.
Yep.
And there's a lot of uncomfortability with that, but at the same time, I love it. I love getting the insight. I think it gets outrageous, of course, with everybody wants to be number one and they want to say the most outrageous things. They want to make the most headlines. That kind of stuff gets a little crazy. Like Gilbert Arenas takes it to a different level sometimes. Kendrick Perkins takes it to a different level sometimes. I think they've all done it. I think we all do it at one point in our careers, too.
Because that's what the algorithm demands. It seems like that's what the public wants at the end of the day.
Exactly. So you gotta, I like clicks and views at the end of the day. They're nice, you know. Yep. They pay.
That's a fact.
But
see?
At the same time, you know, I think, you know, what I've tried to maintain my whole career is just authenticity, unbiased. I can't do the biased superfan thing. It's just like not in me because I cover everything from all angles, right? So it's like, how can I really approach things with a heavy bias? But that being said, it's really cool to get like this Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart podcast. That's been great to watch. You know, them having Isaiah Hartenstein. Guys you would never have access to 10, 15 years ago talking. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think it's really cool hearing some of the unheard of stories.
Yeah, and I think just depending on how you deliver it, it could be really instrumental. You know, what JJ and LeBron is bringing to the table, you know, I think that it's going to help the education side, you know, which has definitely been missing in the circuit. Let me ask you this, though, when we talk about, because there's always that agenda of, because I've played the game, you can't tell me anything, or I know more than you. You know, we've always had that fight with media personalities and, you know, athletes. What's your thoughts and your take on that, Nick? Just because you played the game, does that mean that your take on things is always right?
I don't know about always right, but I do take everything a professional athlete would say to me about competing in the NBA as gold. You know what I mean? Because I can't sit here and have a conversation and accurately describe to anybody what it's like being a player in the NBA or what it takes to even become a player in the NBA or reach that level. I can't sit here and say that. I think that's why I stick to the things I stick to when I'm writing and when I'm doing my content, because I can't go crazy on somebody. I've never walked 10 feet
Their
in their
shoes
shoes,
before,
you know? But at the same time, I think people who have studied the game intensely, talked about the game, written about the game, and immersed themselves in the game, I think anybody can sit at the table and have a conversation. But I think anybody that knows the game knows within 3 minutes who the people are that really know it and love it and who the pretenders are. I feel like that's like an automatic, oh, okay, you're a troll. Oh, okay. You're here for entertainment. You're not here for basketball. There's a lot you can decipher within 5 minutes.
I think it does definitely need to be a level of respect, a level of balance, because, like you said, who are you to go against what the professional players actually said about a certain topic if they're the ones that actually been there? But I do think something has to be said about the eye test, from an analyst or just a fan's perspective. I think players have to respect the fact that even though one individual may not have literally played the game, if you are studying and watching and analyzing, you will see, have a perspective, maybe from a different lens, but you will generate a perspective. And I just think athletes, former athletes, need to respect that if they are going to be in this media realm, because a lot of people feel like what they say is law because they've played the game before. But I just feel like, man, if you've watched it, the eye test will tell you what's good and what's bad. I don't need to be a
Will
professional to
say
do that.
something funny along these lines. Did you see what White Chocolate Jason Williams had to say about Brian Windhorst?
Facts.
I mean, like I'm sitting there laughing and I'm like, yo, he's got a point. Like at the same
See?
time, like damn, that's savage, but oh, he's got a point. So I think there's got to be a balance. Like, there's no doubt to me that Brian Windhorst knows the game, but at the same time, the messenger don't exactly match the message.
Who is who's your favorite, or who you think is the best athlete media personality out right now?
Athlete media personality out right now? Ooh.
Former athlete that's in the game right now that got a podcast. So do you have a favorite?
I'll always be a fan of Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. All the Smoke is one of that's a must listen every time they're on, in my opinion. KG and Paul Pierce are doing their thing too. And I love what they're bringing to it. They're bringing in the entertainment and the knowledge and the just all of it. And it's just the two of them. And they're like best friends, just talking the game and talking current storylines too. Like they're not just flashing back to their playing days. They give you a great mix of everything. So I think those are my favorites. But yeah, definitely KG and Paul Pierce up there right now.
Gil's Arena, they be having that little bit of drama, but I like Gil's show, dude. I do really like Gil's show, and I like the potential of LeBron and JJ Redick, what they have going on. I hope to see more of that. But yeah, guys are doing their thing,
Shout
man.
out to
I'm
Gil's Arena. They had some of my content on Fadeaway World on there that they were
Oh,
discussing.
really?
Shout out to them. Yeah.
Dope. All right, man, let's get into another TikTok segment here on Lakerland Boys and Girls. Make sure again y'all smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel, boys and girls. Let's get right into it. So, real quick, Nick, let's play Guess This NBA Player. I'm just gonna pull up a couple childhood picks of NBA players. I want you to guess who
Okay.
these guys are. Let's start off with this young man. Guess this NBA player, Nick.
That's KD. That's easy.
AD all day, making that easy. All right, let's get into the next one real quick here on Lakerland. Guess this NBA player, Nick.
That's D Book.
D Book from the Phoenix Suns. My man Nick is 2 for 2. Last but not least, Nick Mack, guess this NBA player.
Wow. That is one of the best shooting guards to ever play this game, Mr. Dwayne Wade.
I would have called him Mr. Overrated, but I'm gonna let that go because I don't have enough in the tank to really go there. But you know, shout out to D Wade, man. This is the Lakerland Podcast, episode number 5, man. Shout out to everybody in the building. We're about to get into our exclusive interview part of the show. The reason, the main ingredients of why I brought my dog Nick Mack on the show today. Now, as I told you guys at the top of the top, Nick is a guy in the NBA world that wears many, many hats. Nick, kind of go by briefly with the people, you know, your background, your history, what that resume looked like, because I definitely got some questions to ask you, but, you know, just give the people a little bit of background of what you had going on in the NBA community.
My career basically jump-started during COVID. Reached a lot of boredom being stuck at home, so I started a sports blog. Before I knew it, I got picked up to be a producer with the Ryan Show FM, which is a nationally syndicated radio show hosted by Ryan Vernell, who I went to high school with, and Mr. Cheeks of the Lost Boys, the rap group from Queens, New York. Yep. Back in the 90s. So that was a lot of fun. I got to do a one-on-one interview with Allen Houston and Sugar Ray Leonard to kickstart everything. And then I got involved with the Hugh Jackson Foundation. I started working for former NFL coach Hugh Jackson. I was interviewing different players about their foundations and charities. So that was a really dope venture.
Dope.
And that opened the door for a lot of other things. And meanwhile, Ryan got hooked up with Fox Sports Radio in Rochester, New York. So I'm now a contributor with Fox Sports 1280 and Fox in Rochester, New York as well every week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's definitely a big one. We got some big news coming up. Ryan is pairing up to do a New York Giants football show with a former Super Bowl champion, New York Giant. So nice. That's going to be announced soon. I don't want to spoil the full surprise, but can't wait for that to drop. Y'all are going to go crazy for that, especially if you like football. The guests are going to be insane, of course. Dope. So that's something to stay tuned. And then a little over 2 years ago, I took a shot and I became an NBA journalist with fadeawayworld.net. We parted ways recently. It was more so on my part. I had some things I had to take care of behind the scenes, but I'm currently taking a respite from writing with the NBA, but I'm still contributing weekly and nightly sometimes as far as content creation and to the radio goes. So.
Well, let me ask you, Nick, because, you know, Fadeaway is definitely an established platform in our game. What was it, the experiment like for you, you know, just working with them throughout the time that you did?
I got to give a huge shout out to Fadeaway World, man. They really treat their employees and the writers very, very well. Not just talking financially. I'm just talking about how much they, you know, they care about their writers, what goes on with our writers. So, and it's not just a team of writers. It's also a team of graphic designers, news platform people chasing down stories. Right. So there's a whole team, whole squad over there that really, really took care of each other. They're a really good team. And that's why they've made the progress they've made so far. And shout out to them, man. It was a really great experience. I don't think it really could have gone any better. I got to live my dream for 2 years. You know, and be rewarded handsomely for it. So I wish them nothing but the best, nothing but the most success in the future. And I know it's coming their way too.
Going back before COVID hit, Were there anyone in your radar that was doing this before that kind of motivated or inspired you? Like, what made you take this direction? Was it just the fact of being stuck indoors and trying to figure something out to do? Or was there someone maybe before that did this?
I think there was just, I was looking for a way to get out of my whole life. I had been like in physical labor. And I'll be 35 next week, and I'm not really like I beat my body up from the ages of 15 to 29. So I really just wanted to get out of that. I knew we were going to be stuck at home for a while, and it turns out it was a while. So I tried to just kind of scratch and claw my way into the sports industry.
Right.
And I think what really transpired during that time was when I got sober a little before COVID hit. So that had a lot to do with it as well. And the support system I have at home with my wife and three kids,
shout out to them
and supporting my dream, this wouldn't have been possible at all. But also my late brother, he was a huge influence on me my entire life. And he passed away unexpectedly in November, 2021. And that's when things really, like, I took hold of my dream and was like, all right, I got a bigger purpose now.
That's right.
And it wasn't long after that I got the job with Fadeaway World, and it went from there.
That's dope. That's dope. What would you have to say as far as advice, Nick, for any up-and-comings that maybe consider writing or, just getting into the game? What advice would you give some up-and-comers that are thinking of getting into this realm?
You can't crack into this industry without putting out your work. So I don't, you can overthink it. You can, excuse the language, you can mind fuck it all you want.
Yep.
But at the same time, if you sit there and you ponder and you second guess yourself and you don't put it out there for people to see and you don't share it and you don't do all you can to get just any eyes on it, accept the feedback, the good and the bad. You got to get yourself out there. This is not for the timid. This is not for the shy. This is not for the faint of heart when it comes to your self-esteem. You're going to be tested. Those things are always going to be tested in this industry. People aren't going to agree with you. Stay out of the comment sections on your work. Right. I promise you'll be fighting for your life in those comment sections. Feedback, but I promise you, engaging in the negativity is only going to hold you back. So embrace the positive, block out the negative, take chances, reach out to those people you want to interview. The worst you're going to be told in this industry is no.
Yep. Yep. That's a fact.
The worst you're going to hear is no, can't do it. I've been trying to interview Muggsy Bogues for 6 years.
And I both, and he's from Baltimore. I mean, it's ridiculous. I got to talk to the bosses about Muggsy. Golly.
Yo, man, it's crazy. And he's like a really good dude and everything. He does a lot for the youth in his area. He does a lot for Charlotte still, from what I know, for the Hornets and stuff. So, but you're just going to be told no. And they're really respectful about it every time they say no. So, like, again, man, I've been rejected by huge names. I've got lucky to talk to the people I've been able to talk to in my life. But you're never going to find out. You're never going to reach those levels if you don't take the chance. So bet on yourself, because this is the industry where you can cash in big by betting on yourself.
Word. So, Nick, like I said, man, you've wore many hats, from producer to NBA writer, journalist, things of that nature, stuff I probably don't even know about. But what is your favorite? What kind of really gets you going as far as the many things that you are involved with or just able to do? What's that one thing that you really locked in with?
I think that I've been fortunate enough to talk to a lot of heroes of mine growing up. And I think that's the coolest aspect. Obviously, like, from the outside looking in, people are like, man, you got to sit down for an hour with Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the greatest fighters ever. Yeah, that's really dope. But really, it's understanding and getting a deeper look into how human they really are. Because when all you've ever seen is them on TV or online, or their highlight videos or their interview clips or stuff that goes viral on the internet, To see them in a more relaxed, normal, quote unquote, environment and get an insight into the humanity of sports has been a beautiful thing for me.
Right.
You know, me and it turns out me and Sugar Ray Leonard ain't all that different. We've both battled our share of substance abuse issues. We overcame odds.
Yep.
You know, he became a world champion. I did not,
In
but
your own
you
right.
know,
In your own right.
yeah, but I achieved things I never thought I would. So I think that's just really cool when you can connect with people you've never dreamed of connecting with. But again, I think it's also being able to reach people I'd never be able to reach and interact with people I'd never be able to interact with, such as yourself,
Yes,
and
sir.
talk about basketball for 50 minutes on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep. It's a blessing. That's a fact.
So.
Beautiful thing. Now, Nick, of course, as you guys can see here on Lakerland, is a Dallas Mavericks fan. So we got to show a little bit of respect today. Nick, let me just get your thoughts, man, on your team. You know, last year y'all picked up Kyrie, went 5-11, didn't make the playoffs. Y'all got, I believe, reportedly fined for a tank. It was a lot going on in Dallas, but
Yeah,
seem
it's
to
not
kind
good.
of trying to turn a corner. Give me some thoughts on your team right now.
So, even from the beginning of the season, the Mavericks, they struggled. Kyrie had a freak accident. I think Lively fell on his ankle. And we struggled to find any continuity. They started out hot in most games and then completely melted down in the fourth quarter, the last like 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. That was the story of the Mavericks up until the trade deadline. Those moves at the trade deadline, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, they've been huge defensively for the Mavericks and on the glass. And I think it's enough to, you're not going to slow down, you're not going to stop a Nikola Jokic, but you can disrupt him. And I think the length the Mavericks have now, and the attack they have on the perimeter when Luka and Kyrie are playing in sync like they have been, it's scary, man. It's scary how efficient Dallas can be. Now, that being said, their depth it has been horrifically inconsistent. And I'm talking about the Tim Hardaway Jr., who was an early season Sixth Man of the Year candidate and then
Yep.
completely fell off the map.
Disappeared.
I'm talking about even PJ Washington has been inconsistent finding his jumper, or Dante Exum, who's had his big moments with Dallas this year, last night being one of them, huge win over the Kings. But he's also been inconsistent. Maxi Kleber, always injured, especially this time of year. So Josh Green, injured right now, hasn't been a part of this six-game winning streak at all. Have a huge game against a surging Houston team on Sunday, you
Yep.
know, who has won 11 in a row.
Well, yep.
So it's definitely an interesting right now for for Dallas. However, when Luka and Kyrie are in sync the way they have been, even on rough shooting nights, finding it in the second half, they've completely flipped the script. They've
Yep.
struggled out of the gates, and they are closing games with tremendous efficiency and aggression.
Yeah, your boys are looking good. Let me ask you one more thing about your team. You know, everybody feel like their team is going to win the championship, but just realistically, knowing the game, studying the game, watching the game, when you look at your unit, Nick, do you feel like you have a unit that could literally win the Larry O'Brien Trophy this season, or do you, or deep down inside, you know there's still a piece missing?
I know there's a piece missing. I know there's a piece missing. I now could they shock me and make another conference finals run? Wouldn't put it past them. You know, I didn't expect them to make that run in 2022, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that was only 2 years ago. And to me, this roster is better than that roster. So, like, could it happen?
Possibly.
Sure. Am I banking on it? Hell no. You know, I just The West is so loaded with talent right now, man. At the top of that conference with Minnesota, you know, with Oklahoma City, with Denver. I think it's Denver's conference to lose again.
At the end of the day,
You know, of course, I think a lot of people feel that way.
can you see him
Now,
and
when you
Luke?
get
You see Luke
past
and
the
Joker
three
linking
seed,
up?
though, I think the Mavs can hang with anybody below the three seed easily.
Okay, in a 7-game series.
Clippers, easy. Pelicans, all day. So the Kings, I think they've proven with back-to-back wins over the Kings, must-win games, that they can hang with the Kings. So not worried about that either.
I agree. I agree. All right, boys and girls, last topic here on the Lakerland podcast, episode number 5. We got Nick Mack in the building. Last topic of the day. Now, Nick, this is just a continuation of a topic that we had on the Best of 7 last year. We talked about the impact of the international players of the NBA and how it seems to be kind of a takeover when we talk about the success individually and as teams. You know, we talk about Luka and Nikola Jokic and stuff like that. Does the are the international players right now in today's game the best that the NBA has to offer? Let's start there.
I mean, look at it. Top four MVP candidates this year, all international, including SGA with the Thunder. He's Canadian. You know, there is, I think the international pool of talent is better than it's ever been. I think that's quite the obvious stance take. But look, you could honestly say that five of the best players in the NBA right now, today, are international. You got Luka, you got Giannis, you got Jokic, you got SGA, you got Embiid.
True.
Now, whether or not you consider Embiid international because he's going to be playing USA in the Olympics, throw that up in the air. But I mean, but even after that, you've got guys
You got Wimby,
talking about the next
who can be
level.
a generational talent.
Wemby, Sabonis, even like Franz Wagner in Orlando.
Chet
Looks
Holmgren,
like
I
he's going to
think,
be
is
quite a damn good young player.
right.
RJ Barrett still's got a
Yep.
lot, you know, there's stuff that can open up there for him, especially in Toronto if he stays in Toronto. So I just, it's crazy how it's kind of done a flip in the last decade or so. But yeah, I think the international right now, they have a stranglehold on
On
the
the game.
NBA at the as far as individual players go. And it just so happens that, look, Milwaukee's pretty damn good. Dallas is a damn good, scary playoff team. Jokic and Denver look like they could go back to back as champions.
Yep.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have the best record in the West.
Yep.
There's
Speaks
no
for itself.
coincidence, so
Yep.
yeah.
That's a fact. Nick, brother,
It is
I
a different
appreciate
level
you
of
so
team
much.
ball
I
overseas.
see.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right. But brother, I appreciate you so much, Nick, joining Lakerland this afternoon so much.
Love to be on Lakerland.
Out of
Appreciate
here. Nick, let everybody know where to follow you at, bro, before we sign off.
Mainly, you can just see me on my Twitter at NickMacNBA. You'll see me. It's a picture of me in a Fox Sports poster, I think, is my profile picture. So nothing special. But you'll see me mostly on Twitter. You can see my stuff.
No doubt, no doubt, man. Shout out to my brother Nick Mack, man. Big up to Stinstation, man. Shout out to my guy, man. Big up to everybody in Lakerland, the Laker Nation, as well as the NBA community as a whole. I am your host, Seven Mitchell, with the Lakerland staff. Shout out to my brothers, Cole, BA, and Hank. Once again, guys, come over to our playback room. That's playback.tv/Lakerland. Follow our playback room for all Laker watch parties. We're giving free VIP access. Plus, we got a lot of other things going on there in our playback room. So come over, have some fun with us in the Lakerland playback room. And also another reminder, visit our Lakerland merchandise store. Links are in the description. We got shirts, sweatpants, hoodies, mugs. We got a lot of little dope things we kind of rolling out down the pipeline. So we're getting things in order. Nick, once again, bro, I appreciate you joining us here at Lakerland. I hope you and your family stay safe. Have a happy Easter. And we are out, brother. Absolutely. All right, now. Peace, everybody.